If you have your Bible this afternoon, we're going to look at just a couple of passages of Scripture as we look at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was asked by Lindsay, I believe it was yesterday or earlier today, one or the other, if I was ready for this evening, and I made the statement that I am not going to preach per se. I believe if there's one story found in the Bible that preaches itself, it is the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the account of the birth of Jesus Christ mentioned in a couple of the Gospels. So you don't have to worry about a few points going up on the screen. You don't have to worry about this lasting and too terribly long. However, I want you to know that I believe that the salvation message found in Jesus Christ is found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and also in the Gospel of Luke that we're going to look at this evening. If you have your Bible with me, in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as a mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had hidden him, and took unto him and his wife, and knew her not that she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Continue with me in the chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem in Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee governor shall come, and they shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came to get in the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." A couple of things I want you to think about in the latter part of chapter 1 in the first few verses of Matthew chapter 2. There's three very important people in this particular story other than obviously Jesus Christ being most important. Number one, you have Mary and Joseph. I'm going to call them one people, being husband and wife, okay, looking at it from that perspective. You have King Herod. We're going to call him a person number two. And then finally, you had the wise men. We'll call them a person number three. Three individuals, given the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ being born, two responded the correct way, one did not respond the correct way. Mary and Joseph saw that it was to be obedient, that they were to be obedient to what God had called them to do, and that God would bless them and God would take care of them, and she would bring forth a child who would ultimately be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then you have the wise men, and we preached on this a few weeks ago, and we looked at gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and what that meant in the Scripture, who stopped what they were doing immediately when they saw the star, and they followed him to where he was born so they too could be there when the Christ child was born. Now, if you study this, many believe that they were not there right when they were born. It was probably up to the age of two, hence the reason why King Herod wanted to try to kill all the young male children two or under. But regardless of the reasoning there, they saw that they were to respond. And their response was to go to where Jesus was. And then finally you have person number three, which is King Herod. We looked at him a couple of weeks ago too. He had an ulterior motive. He said, I want you to come back and I want you to tell me where the Christ child is so that I can go and worship him as well. And we know that that is not the truth. A prime example of that, which I'm going to preach on a Sunday, we're going to look in John chapter 13, where Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and he gave the commandment in about verse 34 that you love one another. Jesus was saying this. Jesus had just washed their feet, and he had just washed the feet of an individual by the name of Judas. Most every one of you in here probably know who Judas was and what Judas did. He betrayed the Savior of the world. And you may think to yourself, why in the world was Jesus Christ washing his feet knowing that he was going to betray him? And that is about the agape love that we say we possess. The agape love never stops loving. Many individuals this year, you're experiencing a Christmas without someone very important with you. You're experiencing a Christmas separated from your family, separated from maybe those that you come in contact with, those who walk alongside you during life. I want you to know that the agape love has not stopped loving you. And if you're sitting in here this afternoon and you wonder about this Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you have to give a response as well. And your response is going to be either that of Joseph and Mary that says yes to the plan that God has for your life, or your response is going to be that of King Herod, that you have an ulterior motive and you have no desire to worship the one true king. Or the response can be that of the wise man, which is to obedience, knowing that they needed to worship the Christ, a child. If you have your Bible, move over to Luke chapter 1 with me. I want to read a few verses there. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou there art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found the favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom that there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. One thing I want you to think about out of these verses of scripture that we read just a moment ago, we see in verse 30 that the angel appeared. He said, Fear not. And then he goes on to say, For thou hast found the favor with the Lord. My question to you this afternoon is, have you found favor with the Lord? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this Christmas season? As we walk through this service and we look at the greatest story ever told, you've probably referenced it that way, as have I. But do we live in a way that shows that this is exactly and truthfully the greatest story ever told? Do we believe that God sent his son named Jesus to be born in a manger? Do we believe that God used a common and ordinary folk to be his mother and father? Do we believe that God allowed him to be born in a stable rather than allowing him to be born in a palace? Do we believe that God allowed his son to step out of sovereignty into slavery so too we can experience a place called heaven? As you think about that this afternoon, and as I prepared this idea, I want you to know that I believe that God's word never comes back void. I believe that we can study it. Pastors can prepare it. Music guys can prepare it in song and whatever it may be. But I believe if there is one particular story found in the Bible that can radically change your life, you have heard it from two accounts in what we call the Scripture, that Jesus Christ did come, that he is known as Emmanuel, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he desires to have a personal relationship with you. If you do not know Jesus today, I want you to know that verse 37 lets you know that no matter how far away from God you are, no matter how many mistakes you have made, with God nothing is impossible. That God desires to save you. That God desires to have a relationship with you. That God desires for you to lift his name up. That he too will be lifted up in a place called heaven. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture. God, we know that it's ultimately your word that's going to get us through this thing called life as we go through difficult times. And God, we know that it's your word that allows us to gather together this afternoon and rejoice in what we consider the greatest story ever told. God, I thank you for each person that's able to be here this afternoon, those who are tuning in online or whatever it may be. And God, my prayer is that each individual who's here is a part of the fellowship of the family of God, that we understand what's most important, that we've accepted your grace, that we're living through faith, that you have granted us this peace so we can love and be in that fellowship. God, as we've read that in Matthew and we read that in Luke, God, I pray that it did not fall on deaf ears. God, I pray that it did not just tickle the ears of those who heard it. But God, it's going to convict hearts and change lives, that we as Christians are showing what's most important and we are living a life that shows that you are most important. God, I pray that you continue to be with our service this afternoon. And God, as we look at the Lord's Supper and what it means, God, I pray that we'll take it with reference, God, that we'll understand what the Scripture says and that you'll be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you came in this afternoon, you were given a prepackaged Lord's Supper. We're going to call it an observation kit. We'll say it that way. This is because of COVID, trying not to pass the plate and trying to make sure we're doing the things that we need to be doing. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and take the cups out of the bag, if you don't mind, because I know it makes a little bit of noise with the Ziploc bags. But if you'll go ahead and take the cups out for just a moment, we'll continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 11.